Have you made an honest review? Jump onto fifthwrist.com and read real takes by real owners about their watches. And of course, get involved and write about what's on your wrist. Fifthwrist.com is your independent space to talk watches.
Welcome. Hi, this is Adam, Medium Watch, and you are listening to a special episode of Independent Thinking with Roman. The only thing that's really funny about this episode is that we have a different Roman. So our guest today is not our usual co-host, Roman, but instead we have a special independent watchmaker named Roman Vinegar. And he is in Switzerland. I met him in person during my trip there this past summer. And he is involved in a variety of interesting things. And as you know, in the show, we're all about interesting people doing amazing and innovative things in the world of horology. And Roman Vinegar is exactly that. And so without further ado, I'd like to introduce him to the show. Welcome.
Hi, Adam.
Hi, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
So our customary introduction here is with a wrist check. What are you wearing today?
Today I have my own watch on the wrist.
Excellent. So could you tell us a little about that?
So this is the watch 12, and I think we can maybe talk about it a bit later.
Oh, sure, sure. So it is a watch that he built himself and has sold in a small series. We can go into it in some more detail later. And then what I've got with me today is a Jaeger LeCoultre Reverso, and I picked it in your honor because I believe you began your career at Jaeger LeCoultre. And so that was your first organizational affiliation.
Yes, this were I worked at Jaeger LeCoultre after my apprenticeship. This was my first work there.
Oh, wow. What sort of things do you work on?
I worked on the in the after-sales service, mm-hmm. So on different wristwatches and the kind of the old table clocks, as you know, some models, this pieces of the 60s, 70s.
Oh, wow. Atmos?
Atmos I didn't work on.
Ah, okay.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I figured I would ask. But so many things, so many complicated watches, and such an amazing watchmaker to start out with. And then the other question we customarily ask is what you're drinking. So I just have a Pepsi because it's the middle of the day here in Boston. But are you perhaps drinking something more interesting?
Something more interesting. First of all, I'm drinking water.
Okay.
And second, I like beer. Okay.
Fair enough.
Because I brew beer, and so yes, this is my second favorite.
Well, I guess water is more nutritious in some ways. So, how do you decide to found a brewery, and what's it called?
There was something missing in La Chaux de Fonds. So the town here in Switzerland, where I'm living, it's called the Metropole of Watchmaking. Mm-hmm. The Metropolitan of Watchmaking, mm-hmm. And I thought there is something missing here in town. I like watchmaking, but people that come here, not everyone goes away with a watch. So I thought that to keep the La Chaux de Fonds in good memory, mm-hmm. La Chaux de Fonds should have a brewery. So in 2012, there was no brewery here, and I found it. An old brand, no? It was an old brand, a historic brand, until the 1970s. And so I recreated this brewery.
Was the brand present in La Chaux de Fonds, or was it present in somewhere else
in the 70s, the brand was, there were many breweries, very regional breweries. Mm-hmm. So it was present in this region, more or less. And then the bigger breweries buy it, the small ones, and it gave us some concentration in the beer brewer landscape. And after that, 10, 20 years later, it was going in the other way. Small, many microbreweries came out. And actually, we are very regional. We're in La Chaux-de-Fonds and Canton Neuchâtel in this area. This was the goal, to make a regional beer again.
Actually, interesting. It sounds a lot like watchmaking, where there was both this consolidation and then this rise of independence after a whole chapter in consolidation.
Yeah.
What drove the consolidation in the then rise in independence in the beer context?
Sorry, I don't understand the question.
So why did all the breweries consolidate, and then why did independence start?
I think it's the same like in watchmaking. Mm-hmm. In a time, there were so many little factories for movements, no? Mm-hmm. And they got concentrated. No? Mm-hmm. They came together, for example, for the escapement, for the hairspring, and all this stuff. And later, it was very concentrated to like for hairsprings, Niva, Roxfar, etc. So. I think for this was a main interest to make the power together, but yeah, and then there was a movement in the other direction after the 80s, 90s, and again some smaller producers came again out of the concentration. I think in the beer for the beer it's the same.
Interesting. Are there any other similarities between making a watch and making a beer?
There is not so much similar. Even maybe for the beer and for the watches, with a few hand movements, you can make big damage.
For sure.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's really not the same. You have to be precise. Make beer, you have to be precise. You have to be able to work very clean also. Otherwise, you don't make good beer. Mm. And so this is the same for the watchmaking. You have to be precise.
So do you wear gloves when you make the beer? Or why does the contamination matter?
For the beer, yeah, that it's contamination matter. If you don't clean enough, or if you have any inattention, and something is not really clear, for example, a beer keg, a beer container, if it's not clean, and you don't see inside, so some months later you have a problem somewhere in the restaurant or in the bar. So you have to be very careful about a few details, really small details, and that's the same in watchmaking.
Interesting. So one of the things that's in my mini fridge is a special bottle opener that you made. You basically, I guess, took a laser cutter or something and carved your name and a clock and made this really cool bottle opener that can be used, obviously, for your beers. Have you ever thought of making anything else linking the two fields, linking beverages and timekeeping?
So, I made another thing. It's just a glass, a sundial glass. And yeah.
Tell us how it works.
Yeah, it also works when the weather is sunny. It works very well. And yeah, there is some advantage in this kind of gadget, I would call it. It's very easy for the after-sales service. There is no after-sales service. It works all time when you study.
Interesting. And how do you account for differences in when solar noon is in different places and differences in latitude with the glass?
It's designed for some cities in Switzerland. So for Geneva, for Lucerne, for Basel, for Zurich, for La Chaux-de-Fonds. So this is the secret of that.
That makes sense. And besides being a brewer, what's the name of the brewery, just for our reference? And how did they get that name?
The name is La Comet. Mm-hmm. like the comet you can see on the sky. Mm-hmm. And it's the name of the old brand that existed over 100 years until the 70s in La Chaux-de-Fonds. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I took back the tradition of beer brewing in La Chaux-de-Fonds, because we are in 1,000 meter altitude now. Mm-hmm. And in Neuchâtel, there is you can find many wine, but on 1,000 meter, not. So I brought back this tradition of beer brewing here.
Hmm. And which varieties?
And
which types? Which flavors? Like IPA, lager.
Yeah, the La Comet is a very, I would say, a normal beer, a kind of lager. Mm-hmm. Most our types are just, I would say, in the positive say way to say that, no, not complicated beer, just
quite good,
very easy to drink, mm-hmm. but not the same like industrial beer. Yeah.
So on your website, your profession states that you're an independent watchmaker. Obviously, you're a brewer as well, but this is another important part of your life. What was your career path, and what do you currently do during your day?
Yeah. So I started learning watchmaking when I had 15 years. So I made an apprenticeship for that. Yeah. And after that, I came. That was in the German part of Switzerland. Mm-hmm. I wanted to learn French. So I came to the French part, to Le Sentier. So I was 2 years at Cherche Le Coultre. After that, I started a study in La Chaux-de-Fonds to restore watches. 2 years of study. And after that, I worked for 10 years at Parmigiani in the restoration department. And I very much liked the restoration work, but you always work on old things. Your own creativity is a little bit, how do you say that? Yeah,
it diminishes a bit, I guess. Yes.
Yeah, and so I had the wish to become independent and to work also on modern products, to see if my ideas, how things could be made better, if the ideas worked. And so I become in 2007 I become independent for my own in La Chaux-de-Fonds. Now I'm 15 years independent here. And yeah.
And then I recall during one chapter you worked with Royal Pages. What was that like, and what sort of things did you work on?
Yeah, Royal made the same study like I made here, why I came to La Chaux-de-Fonds finally. And I worked at Parmigiani, and there was a working place free in the restoration department. And yeah, I tried to give a word that he can have this place. And finally he got this place. And yeah, that was very nice. And when I was independent later, he became independent at his tour, and then he worked in my workshop for something like 2 days per week, and he started his independency and worked here, and then he started wholly for his own.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, so it sounds like you were a mentor of sorts.
We had same ideas, and we had fun to work together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what sorts of watches and clocks did you restore with him?
So, finally something like everything. For restoring work, it's most of the time old timekeepers of the 18th, 19th century, automatons, singing birds, and this kind of things. And of course, also restoring of modern watches, like watches from the 50s, 60s, 70s, of this range of time. Actually, I'm working more on modern products in development and prototyping, conception of watches, and this kind of like open movement. I work more on this prototyping is the spend much time for this.
Are there any that you can talk about?
Something I can talk about?
Yeah, that are now public. Because some of the stuff you do might be confidential and you can't talk about it, but is there anything you can talk about?
Yes, for example, I would not say a simple thing, but for a designer called Belgen Gruppe, there is a company, Belgen Gruppe in Basel, held by a designer, and he created his own watch design. But then he had the thing how to come from the design to the watch. So he came to me, and we made all the steps that he had finally the watch in his hand, and to also the possibility to produce it. So this is Belgen Gruppe. Mm-hmm. For example, what can I talk about other? It's not so easy.
I'd imagine. Well, I'm sure there's tons you can't. So I recall seeing a lot of flip clocks in your atelier. What led you to have a lot of flip clocks?
It's just that I like them. I was always fascinated about. And yeah, that's why I collected a little bit the flip clocks. And I like also the sound when I'm working from time to time, the sound of the flip clock. It's something like a timekeeper for the ears. Yeah, and recently I made the project for Walid Beshti. I don't know if you know the artist, the Californian artist, Walid Beshti. Mm-hmm. And he wanted a flip clock based on the Swiss railway techniques in all the time. And so I made this project from the technical side that it became possible.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I like flip clocks.
Well, who doesn't? And a few minutes ago, we were just talking about the 12. So what's the story? Why did you decide to pick the design you did for the 12? How did it come about? What led you to create that watch in particular, and why does it have the form that it does?
Yes. In a time, I thought that I should make a watch for my own name. So, but of course, I never had time for that. And a bit more than 10 years ago, I thought that I should do that because my anniversary is the 12-12. So I thought this is very special for a watchmaker. Certainly, I'm not the only watchmaker that has his anniversary, the 12-12. But then a bit before the 12-12, 2012, I thought I should make a watch for my 40 years. And so I looked, how can I make a watch, but also in a price that is still accessible to, I would say, normal fortunate people, or for people also that would not put more than 5,000 francs in a watch. And so I created a watch with this maximum price level based on a standard movement, because I had not so much other choice to make a accessible watch.
It's like a 2824 or something, right? Or these are 2824?
Yes. Yeah, 2824. And so I talked to this movement and I thought, so what can I do? The movement is perfect. I should not touch it. So what do we do? How you can make a watch with a perfect movement? So I thought about the case and the kind I wanted to show the time, and I wanted to make do something with wandering, like the wandering hours. I like also the wandering hours. So I more or less I took the small compounds about the idea. Okay, standard movement, no dial, but wandering hour, and what can I do in my workshop? And so this is the watch that came out, funnily, because I made 12 exemplars, 12 pieces. This is a number that I can share in my workshop. So I can do that on my machine. I make the case and the disc and all this stuff on my machines. And finally, yeah, there is some for my know-how in this watch. And because if I would make 50 of these pieces, it's boring at after the first series, make 50 by hand, it's more or less boring. If you just make one, it's so much preparation just for one piece, and it's too expensive at the end. So that's the way that I made 12. Also, because in the time for watchmaking for all the they also counted in 12, 12 cases in the box, and this kind of stuff. So finally, it was a play with the 12. Anniversary 12 pieces, and the 12 is wandering around, so it's just a play.
So does the 12 serve as like an hour hand, or
you can read on the top, it's like a wandering hour on the top, but in fact you could put a dot on the 12 and it would be an hour hand.
Ah, okay.
So it's not a special mechanism or so. It's just the disc, funny way to show time and without modification movement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that makes sense. You've got a business objective, have a set price point, and you want to do something interesting with relatively standardized materials.
Yeah.
And so that's a way of achieving that.
Yeah,
and it's cool.
Much fun to do that. And and of the series of 12 watches, actually the next number available will be the number 10. I did not make many promotion about that. I just wait that one day every watch will be sold.
So 22 in total.
So
20, like 10 plus 12, so 22 in total. Across the two series?
No, 12 in total.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, 12 pieces in total. The next one is the number 10. The next one available.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so you've got three left.
Yes.
That makes sense. Interesting.
That's right. I sold them in the order.
That makes sense. So we'll see if we sell out after this podcast. It is a very cool watch. I've tried it on myself, taken some pictures. I think there was a copy of it that was at the Oxygen Junior Atelier. Maybe it was James's or something. And so I had the chance to handle it and take a look and take some photos. So this is one of the things you've been working on, but there's far more. So we had a recent interview with Jeremy Frélichot, and he mentioned that he'd been involved with something called the Open Movement Project, of which you're the president. For people that have not heard that episode, what is the Open Movement Project?
The Open Movement Project is an open source project for watchmaking. So we are developing, actually it's one movement that's on the way. And yeah, it's a wristwatch movement in, in the size of 30 millimeters. And yes, we wanted to make it open source.
Mm-hmm. And will there be other sizes?
Oh, we will see. First, now we concentrate on this one. Mm-hmm. We started another movement in the 25.6, so in the standard size. Mm-hmm. But actually, we are really concentrated on the OM10, how we call the caliber. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned open source. Are there any similarities between what you're doing and open source software like Linux?
Yeah, it's something like it's a base. So Linux is a base and you can develop on it. And for the open movement, it's just a base movement with three hands and a date. And you also can work on it or build on.
That makes sense. And Linux is special because it's distributed both as something you can just install on your computer, but you can also get uncompiled Linux where you get all the code. Are there any similarities there with what you're doing?
Yeah, actually we had published the 3D, the step 3D file. Mm-hmm. And after the prototypes, we want to publish the plans, the 2D detailed plans with tolerances. And the reason is why we do that just after is because we want first to check if with the prototype if everything is really correct. As you know, in watchmaking we are looking about thousands of millimeters. There are so many small details that everything works really well, and we want to check that first before publishing the detailed plans. Mm-hmm. So that means, yes, it's open source. You have every details of the watch, of the movement. And so this is finally the code.
And how did the project come about? Who came up with the idea? Why did this idea come about?
Yeah. When I become independent, there was the wish to make my own watch. Or my own movement, but I saw that it's really difficult to do that. It's a big investment. There are some difficult parts, like escapement, hairsprings, all this stuff. So it's complicated to make his own movement. So there came out the idea to have a common base. And I spoke to others, and they found, oh, yeah, that's really, really nice. And so we founded Open Movement. After that, it was a long way to come here where we are today, because the Open Movement project has now 13 years.
Wow. Why has it taken so long?
Years ago.
Why has it taken so long?
Because it's a completely new way. This is one thing. So we have different. It was so new, and then the time you need also to make a watch or to make a movement needs a lot of time. Then we had some difficulties. We worked on it. Some get in the family get. Little children, so the priority of life changed for a while, and there were so many different things. And yeah, the difficulty is also to get how to get all this time together that is needed to construct a movement, And the other thing is also to get the, it's an open source hardware. So you have to finance the hardware, all the parts, the watchmaking parts. And this also took a while to get the money together.
How did you finance it?
Actually, with donators, sponsors, donators, I don't know how you call, in French, mécène. So just enthusiastic people who found this is a cool project, refinance a part of it. The sponsors here, or the donators, will receive a final terminated watch. Now we are making 20 prototypes, and yeah, the donators will get one of these prototypes. Mm-hmm. Actually, two are still available.
Well, fantastic.
But we had the chance to start the prototype phases, and we are working on it.
Interesting. So, you know, there are other movements that have three hands and a date. Obviously, the 2824, the 2892, the SW200. What makes this one different? Because some of these other ones are off patent.
Yeah, the difference is really that it's open source. Maybe it's a little bit more classical, and it's not at the same point industrial. The open movement, you can work like in a flexible industrialization. Yeah? If you want to make a lot of handwork, you can make handwork on it. If you want to make it industrially, you can make it industrially. So there is a flexibility between handwork and industrialization. Also, you can choose the parts. The goal of open movement is really to produce part kits. Mm-hmm. So if you are a watchmaker, the goal is that you can buy the part kits, because this is the really difficult thing to have parts, to make parts in small series. So a Sellita or ETA movement are perfect movements. But you don't have to work on it as a watchmaker. Just don't touch it. Make it work. So on the open movement, you really can work and terminate it how you want and all this stuff, or build on it.
Can you make integrated modules for it? Because it's open, is it easier to make modules that are more, parallel to the base plate so that they don't stick out as much?
Yes, everyone can make what he wants at the end, yeah. Because on the kits, the part kits, the first, of course, will be very not decorated, yeah. And then later we will see if we can make some decorated part kits or just we will see what level of decoration we give. But the main goal first is that to have raw material. And so every watchmaker can enjoy his work and make his art on this movement.
Interesting. So real focus on movement decoration. Who will produce the part kits?
Part kits are mainly produced in the Swiss part, in the Jura region. Here is the manufacturer of Switzerland. So many small companies, smaller and bigger companies who make watchmaking compounds. For example, for the prototypes also, there is an American watchmaker, Cameron Weiss.
Oh, yes.
He is working on parts for the prototypes now. Making some screws and so. And so this is his contribution to the project. Or Ron Murphy here also once sent us a 3D print of one part of the movement. So, yeah.
Interesting, a real collaboration.
Yeah, what we have full contacts to the United States. That's very fun, yeah.
Why do you think that is? Why are there so many Americans that are participating in this? So I think Andre Jortz also mentioned to me that he was all excited about this project and he's out in California.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Finally, I don't know. But yeah, it's right. Andre Jortz, we are in very good contact. We have, he helps us with some drawings and some for the Instagram and so on, and these things. I don't know why it came like this, but it's very, we are happy about.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I actually met up with him a few weeks after I met up with you out in California. I had a chance to see his watches. They were beautiful. Mm-hmm. Absolutely fantastic work. So Andre is a hobbyist, essentially, and he has a lot of skills in building devices and designing things made out of metal. And so he has essentially created his own watches with his own designs, working with machinists, doing some of the finishing himself by hand. But it's something I've never seen anyone else do. It's totally incredible, especially for someone that's not a professional watchmaker. Beautiful work. So, yeah.
And I think that there we can see the goal of open movement, that someone like him, he with us, with this work together, he can improve his know-how about watchmaking. And finally, this is also the goal of open movement, that this is a project we can share about, we can talk about, we can show the things. So if someone wants to improve his skills, we can increase the quality of watchmaking everywhere on the world without concurrence. We just increase.
Yeah, definitely. It's always good to have multiple platforms. And so people are innovating from multiple starting points. Yeah. Speaking of differences in the platform, I believe there's a second hand at 9 o'clock.
Yes, there is a second hand at 9 o'clock.
How did that come about?
So when we started the project, we got together about 40 watchmakers, constructors, specialists, technicians came together to talk about what should we make on the first movement or what is important for a watch movement. So we looked about some theories about chronometry, how the escapement has to be in position in the movement. We spoke about what old books speak about and says that is good. And we checked if really in the experience these old theories are still a value. And so we put a lot together. And out of this came also the wish to leave the center free. So we have the balance wheel, without the center wheel over it. We like that. We like that.
How come?
So we made the finally a relatively traditional shape of putting the wheels in the movement. Huh? And so we came to the second wheel at 9 o'clock and leaving the center free and the position of the escapement, how it is in the watch, that is ideal at the on the arm for the chronometry. And so we came back to a traditional shape.
Why does it matter to keep the center free?
What is the matter to keep the center free? Oh, it's just it's very nice to see the whole balance wheel. You think?
Yeah.
The other thing is to put the balance wheel also inside and to make the chronometry. It's also practical if the balance is completely free, and then the other thing was also if someone wants to to construct an additional module on the movement, it can be interesting to have the center free, to put another arc through the center or like this. So this was the reflection about that.
That makes sense. And how do you think this project will impact independent watchmaking?
I don't think a lot about it. I don't know. But I hope, I would hope that that make it easier to, or that can kind of stimulate many watchmakers on the world to, to improve the skills, to work on it, to improve the know-how for everyone, and to have fun to really work with the watchmaking skills.
That makes sense. And it really empowers people to bring their creativity to the architecture, the movement, into to the mechanical aspects of the watch in a way that isn't so possible when you're constrained to just use whatever's movements are available off the shelf. It was sometimes, I guess, when you're working with a standard movement, it's almost a design constraint where you're like, okay, this is what I have. How do I design something interesting? Be it a wandering hours complication, be it Ludwig Oechslin's various complications, you know, dealing with the constraint of the existing movement. Now you can actually go into the movement itself. What's the future roadmap for the Open Movement Project? I recall there is the OM20 in the works and perhaps some other future movements.
Yeah, for future movements, we will see. First, we have to finish the one that we are working on and to put on the way the part kits for the OM10. The OM20, in fact, it's the OM20 movement is, in fact, it's almost finished at 97%. But we keep concentrated on the first one. And then we will see what we can do. We are not in lack of ideas. But the difficulty is to make them through and to find the finances for that. So we have to prove for the first one that it works.
If all of a sudden you had a ton of financing, let's say, I don't know, you got a grant from Swatch or something, or Elon Musk, and they gave you $10 billion to pay your volunteers to spend more time on this project, what would you want them to make?
In a project of Open Movement or of me?
Of Open Movement. Well, both.
No, I think for Open Movement, we would... First, we would accelerate the OM10, accelerate the development and the finishing of that, of the prototypes and the part kits. And I think, the 25.6 millimeter movement, something to make in this shape, or make, and then, I don't know. We should think about which complication maybe would be very interesting for most people. I don't know if we should make another tourbillon again. It's always fun to make a tourbillon, but maybe there would be another movement or other kind of shape that would be also interesting. I don't know yet. Let's get the billions, and then I think we will have good ideas.
That makes sense. I guess first things first. Perfect the OM10. Is the OM10 case compatible with an LR movement? Can you put it in a case designed for something else, or does it need its own cases?
In diameter, we are same like the 7750. So we kept some in sides of diameter the same. But otherwise, we didn't keep the. It's not a clone or of the shape, so it's not one-to-one to replace like that. For
okay.
example, for the hands also, if you have 7750 hands,
mm-hmm.
The holes or the fittings for the adjustments for the hands,
mm-hmm.
we use the same standards. Yeah, of course, because so we had to, everyone has not to make new hands.
Okay.
Kind of, but yeah, so more or less we keep some standards.
Mm-hmm.
This is necessary, otherwise a watch becomes too expensive.
Yeah, well, this way you can, I guess, buy a 7750 case in hands, or you have to get a different case?
I think a different case would be necessary, but in fact, we didn't try to see if it fits in, maybe because in different height.
Mm-hmm.
We will see. What you say was told about before. Actually, we make the OM10. It's a manual winding movement, but it will came out as an automatic. No? The automatic is already made for in theory or on the plan on 3D, and we also will in the near future. This is the goal to make it in the more automatic version. So you have two versions possible.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's a small variation between the two. That makes sense. And in addition to talking about the roadmap for the Open Movement project, what are you planning on doing in the future with your own business, with Vinegar Herlinger? Where are you planning on going with things?
Oh, that also I would know. I would say so. Actually, of course, I'm waiting also for Open Movement. That Open Movement is coming out with the part kits,
mm-hmm.
and then to look what is possible to make as an independent watchmaker with this kind of movement for interested people.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be the first. What I would like to develop. Finally, it was the initial idea to have a movement for independent watchmaking. Otherwise, so there are so many ideas. I don't know what I should choose or not or what. I would have many pleasure to develop. I like develop for others. I like develop for people who can do it, but maybe who have the finances to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I like to introduce ideas to something real. And I would have much pleasure if someone is coming with more or less no limits. I think we can have much fun and make something very nice.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah, you've made a beer, well, I guess a beer brand. You've made cups, watches, a book, so many different types of things. It's kind of amazing. Are there any other projects that you're thinking about that are not even watch related? Because you've created so many different sorts of things. It seems like you're really a maker at your core, making all sorts of different products.
No, actually, that's enough. Well, this is enough things to to do. I'm more or less going to concentrate my work on these things and not to add other things, actually.
No, oh, that makes sense.
The day is always the same with 24 hours, so... so even with beer and watches, there is so much to do. So, this is enough.
That makes sense. And you're building this new platform that other people can extend. How do you see independent watchmaking as a craft evolving over the next decade? Is you're part of this whole independent horology movement?
Huh. I don't know how the independent watchmaking could be evolving in the next decade. I hope that it keeps some mechanics, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we'll have to just see. So what would you like our listeners to take away from this discussion? Are there things that you think that they should think about?
Oh, this is a difficult question. No, I think the listeners should take with them that I think they know that watchmaking, there's so many creativity still sleeping. And I think that learn at least the existence of about open movement. Mm-hmm. To follow all the people who are working or interested in open movement. Mm-hmm. And to follow this work. Yeah.
Thank you. So are there any resources on Instagram or books that our listeners can use to learn more about independent watchmaking for the people that want to get started or just want to get a better sense of this sort of a skill set and what's going on with movement development? Mm-hmm. And thought about the mechanical side of things?
No. So if someone has some skills about 3D programs, of mm-hmm. course, the person should download the movement from openmovement.org. This, otherwise, we have some educational content on open movement watchmaking on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, there are so many nice websites and videos on the internet. I don't have a special choice about that. There's so many nice things. Just go through and you will find it.
So I would like to give a shout out to Andre Jortz. We mentioned him earlier in the episode, but I think it's worth taking a look at his Instagram account, A-N-D-R-E-J-O-R-T-S. And I may have already mentioned this on a prior episode of the show, but it doesn't matter. This shows that a person that isn't a classically trained watchmaker can nonetheless make a contribution to building. I think he built a jump hour complication. He did the finishing himself. He designed cases. With enough effort, it's possible to make amazing hot horology watches on your own. And I think that as part of the message that we can see from Open Movement is that there's now the potential for makers of all types to truly make creative things that are beautiful, that are innovative, that are different. And that are handmade. You've now made 12 of the hours, the 12, 10 of the 12 series watches, and Andre's made I think about 4 watches. Although George Daniels only made 4 watches, perhaps there's more of these watches than of those. Independent watchmakers can do something truly special. If only doing so in relatively limited quantities. So this is Adam at Medium Watch bringing you this episode of Independent Thinking with Roman, albeit with a different Roman. And this is on Fifth Wrist Radio. Thank you for joining us. And remember to follow us on Instagram. Ask if you want to join our Slack group. And if you want to learn more about Open Movement Watchmaking, it's at OPENMOVEMENT_WATCHMAKING on Instagram. That's Open Movement _Watchmaking on Instagram. Please check it out because there's really interesting stuff happening. And remember, stay on time.
Wrist is by the community for the community. We would love you to join the crew via our group chat on Slack. Email us at contact@fifthwrist.com and join the movement.